We have been talking about the fasting and prayer, and this is our third message on fasting and prayer. And tonight we're going to continue on that. There are about five messages on fasting and prayer that we have put together. So what we're going to see is that God is calling His people for revival, and the first part of what God wants to do is to get us into prayer with Him. And I recall before the Azusa Street revival, if you recall, a man named Seymour and a man named Charles Parham, students of Pentecostal history, will study their lives and some of the things that took place. That Charles Parham, in one of his Bible school gatherings, they got filled and touched by the Holy Spirit. And one day James Seymour met up with him. And James Seymour was already spending about 6 hours with God every day. He was seeking for revival and a flow and a move of God. And as he saw God and he met with this Charles Parham, God began to speak to him and said, pray some more. He said, Lord, what else must I do? And the Lord said, pray some more. He says, Lord, I'm already praying about 6 hours a day. The Lord says, pray some more. And he says, all right, Lord, if you say pray some more, so he increased by 2 hours per day. So he prayed about 8 hours onwards, and as he continued praying for months, he increased by 2 hours. Suddenly, they reached a point in one of the meetings at Azusa Street where the power of God hit them, and it has resulted in what we call the Pentecostal revival today. But it was born and birthed in prayer. And God is calling your nation to prayer. God is calling the people of God in your land to prayer. He's calling the people in our land too. And we have been praying and praying and praying. God is calling His people to prayer. And only today we have one of our brothers from East Malaysia visited, and he was with us this morning. And a revival has already started in our country. They have seen marvelous things and marvelous signs. And over in East Malaysia, they have seen occasions when the people gather together in prayer, like the old days of fire, way in Sarawak and Bakalalang, you may have heard of that. And one day in the Lord's will, I'll bring them here too. And they pray together in the Lord, and gather together on one of these mountains, and the Lord say, I will show you a sign. And as they pray, fire came down from heaven. Just recently happened. Just recently took place. And he came over and shared with us and wonderful things that God is doing. God wants to do powerful things. God wants to do wonderful things. Now that was just a sign. A sign has five purposes. It tells us about God's love. It tells us about God's promises as a confirmation of His word. And it tells us about God's timing. It tells us about the vessel of God, and it tells us about the new era and the timing of God that God is bringing forth. If you study the signs in the Bible, you notice a sign does not end in itself. It has a message involved. And it has drawn a lot of people. And there were about 540 people gathered in that mountain. And when they gathered together and prayed, when they saw that, every one of them started confessing their sins. Now that's revival. And they realized, hey, we are not living the holy life that we should. And some of you say, hey, I don't sin, I don't smoke, I don't commit adultery, I don't drink alcohol, I don't do this, I don't do that. What about Isaiah? I say, what about Isaiah? Isaiah in chapter 6, when he saw the Lord. Now, if there were any righteous men in his days, it was Isaiah. And Isaiah, when he saw the glory of God in Isaiah 6, he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Wait till you see the glory of God, and we will not be self-righteous anymore. We bow down before Him and repent. Now what we're going to see is fasting and prayer, and we need to establish ourselves on the word in fasting and prayer. As the move of God begins, we want to pray and seek God. Now there are three kinds of prayer that we want to look at. And we want to see how fasting is related to the three kinds of prayer. So for teaching purposes, we have to describe the three kinds of prayer. Number one is what we call the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Mark chapter 11, please. Verse 23 to 24. There are three kinds or types of prayer. And we want to see the three kinds of prayer. Then we want to see how fasting and prayer relates to all the three types and kinds of prayer. Now, it's important to understand each type and each kind of prayer, because we don't apply the rules for the prayer of faith for the prayer of dedication. And we don't apply the rules that apply to the prayer of dedication to the prayer of intercession. They all work by different rules and different laws of God. There are many kinds of prayer. We didn't quote that scripture, so we might start quoting now. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, pray with all prayer. The Greek word actually says, pray with all kinds of prayer. And one of the Greek translations, English translation from the Greek, has translated is, pray with all kinds, all types of prayer. So that tells us there are many kinds of prayer. And we need to understand the different kinds of prayer, so that we will not use the rules that apply to the prayer of dedication for the prayer of faith, or the prayer of faith to the prayer of intercession. They each operate on different rules. Just like you don't take the rules for soccer and apply it to hockey. You look very funny in a soccer field carrying a hockey stick. I say, why are you doing that? Hey, you know, I play by hockey rules. No, you can't. Each game has its own rules, and we have to follow the rules that apply to each game that we play. So there are different kinds of prayer, and we need to understand what God's word say about different types and kinds of prayer, and understand the laws that govern each one in its perspective. The book of Mark, chapter 11, in verse 23-24, we see first a prayer of faith. Mark 11, verse 23 and 24, Jesus says here, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Then he goes on in verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Notice that in verse 24, the word receive in the Greek is the past perfect tense. That is why translations, perhaps like the new translations, translate it as believe that you have received them. The RSV translates that way too. And it's a past perfect tense. Now look at verse 24. We are looking at the prayer of faith. In verse 24, there are three tenses there. Three tenses. There is a past tense. Actually, a past perfect tense. Believe that you receive. The Greek says, believe that you have received. Then it says, there's a present tense. When you pray, that's present tense. And then there is a future tense. And you will or you shall have them. There are three tenses in the one word. There is a past, there is a present, and there is a future tense. He says, when you pray, believe that it's done. Shoop, it goes into the past. And then the future, you shall have them. So, what he's saying here is that from point A, alright, point A, when you pray, believe that you have received, and you shall, come to this point here, have them. So, between point A and point B is a time process. Here you are in the present. So you have prayed. When you pray, believe you receive. Past. and you're moving, you're in a presence, and you shall have them in that side there. From point A to point B, you exercise the prayer of faith. Now the prayer of faith is governed and limited by the promises of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot believe and pray the prayer of faith for something that God does not promise. It has to be covered by God's word. That is from Romans 10 verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If the word of God does not say something about it, you can't have faith for it. Faith includes confidence. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Some translation says, it's the confidence or the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there is a confidence involved. But there is also a human confidence. It doesn't mean that if you're just confident that you'll get something, that there is faith. No. Faith is based on the word. Pardon me if I use this illustration. I felt that it's one of the best areas because it conveys the meaning. There are a lot of people who try to pray the prayer of faith for areas that the word never promised. And then when it doesn't work, they blame God. See, the prayer of faith governs the promises of God. And many people who get into the word movement or the word of faith, they take Mark 11, 23, 24 fully out of the context of the word and apply it to everything under the sun that the word doesn't include. Start asking for Jupiter, Mars, Pluto, Uranus and Neptune. Way out on that side. And so in the early days in the world of faith movement, I came across people who believe God for everything. I mean, everything that's in line with the word is no problem. So one day there was this couple that came, and I have asked their permission to use the illustration. Praise God. They're not Singaporean, so don't worry. Don't know your neighbor. They're not members of my church, so you don't have to contact them to find out. And I have their permission. This is good illustration. And at first when they didn't understand the word, and they came for counseling, and then as we counsel, usually we give marriage counseling before we marry them. And then they said, bless God, we don't have to use birth control anymore. I said, are you planning to have a baby? They said, no. But you're not using any birth control. No. What are you using? Says the word of God. I said, excuse me, sir. How do you use the word in that area? And he says, Mark 11 verse 24. I prayed, she prayed, we believe we have it. Say, what do you pray for? We believe God that we have no children. And they are claiming Mark 11 verse 24. And then, just to add more confidence to them, they say, we also claim Matthew 18 verse 19. If any two on earth agree, as touching anything, it shall be done. We believe that it is done on earth. And I said, the scripture also says, you reap what you sow. And so, I had to show them from the Bible and say, as far as the promises of the word are concerned, the word actually says, be fruitful and multiply. So I say, if you are claiming God's word, you better prepare. Prepare lots of cords. And So I said, it's not possible to claim not to have kids because it is a curse to be unfruitful. So we cannot believe God's word to be cursed. There's no way. God's word is a blessing. And so I had to show them that Mark 11:23-24 is governed by all the other scriptures. You cannot take it out of the context. It has to be under the prayer of faith, where God has promised something in His word, and you build your faith in the word, and you are able to pray that prayer of faith. When you pray the prayer of faith, you never use the word if. Different from when you pray the prayer of dedication, the word if is always used. Because in the prayer of faith, like I say, there are some things you can use for prayer of dedication that you cannot use the rules for the prayer of faith. In the prayer of faith, if you use the word if, it becomes a doubt. It becomes doubt. You say, but I'm not sure. If you're not sure, then you can't pray yet. See, the prayer of faith presupposes that you know what the word says. It tells us in verse 23, and if you do not doubt in your heart, it means there must be a revelation in the heart. So the prayer of faith is a prayer based on the promises of God. If you pray the prayer of faith, and you claim to pray the prayer of faith, and somebody comes and asks you, what promises are you standing on, and you cannot answer, you're not in a prayer of faith. It must be based on the promises of God. You cannot even say, so and so did it, so can I. That is not a revelation. That is their revelation. The word has to be the revelation to you. You cannot pray the prayer of faith just because you say, well, Tan Akal has it, so must I. Then we say, what about Tan Ata? Over this side. And so, we have to have the revelation from God's word about God's promises. And there's a two-stage process, I call it, in the word. The word of God must be made alive in us. There is a process for the word to enter into our heart to become faith first. When it has become faith in our heart, through the process of meditation and spending time in the word, then faith comes in our heart. When faith comes in our heart, then you can pray without doubting. Jesus said, if you do not doubt in your heart, there must be completely no doubt. So before we release the prayer of faith, we must build our faith up. And as your faith is built on God's word and God's promises, then you could come to the point where your faith is there. You're believing God and praying the prayer of faith not because somebody did it, not because somebody else you saw knew it, but because you see God's word. You receive God's word in your heart, and God's word becomes faith in your life, so you pray the prayer of faith. And you pray, and the moment you pray, it's done. You do not see it yet. Notice it says, and you shall have them. The you shall have over on this side talks about the manifestation. That when you actually see it and feel it coming forth. Before you have it, you have to exercise the prayer of faith. Between point A to point B, when you pray the prayer of faith, you have to keep on walking in faith. You are not moved by what you see. You are not moved by what you feel. You are moved only by the word of God. And you are walking in faith all the time. And you believe it. It's settled in your heart. And you keep exercising faith. There's a time process. You keep exercising faith. You keep exercising faith. You don't repeat the prayer anymore. You notice? When you pray once, it was Smith Wigglesworth, if you heard of him, who said this in one of his books. And he talked about the prayer of faith. That if you pray 7 times before you receive it, the first 6 times is in unbelief. And I read that, I thought that was pretty strong. And yet, you can really, and take it in the context of the prayer of faith. In the prayer of faith, you don't repeat. You build yourself up, and then you release it. That settles it. It must be based on God's word. It must be a promise in God's word. And then, you keep on exercising faith. You thank God that you have received. As you walk on, you say, it's still not manifested. You shall receive. You see up there. You're in the present here. There, you believe that you have received. As you walk on, you say, thank you, Father, I believe I have received. And you walk on, you say, thank you, Father, I believe I have received. And you walk on, you say, thank you, Father, I believe I have received. And you keep walking on like Abraham, keep confessing. I believe I have received. Change his name to Abraham. Keep on confessing, I believe I have received. I believe I have received. And along the way, he receives it. He manifests. And we are describing more, but tonight we want to compare the different types of prayer. The prayer of agreement is a development of the prayer of faith. You could put it under a sub-study of the prayer of faith. The prayer of agreement is actually two people praying a prayer of faith together. Okay? That's in Matthew 18. So that's a prayer of agreement. It's two people releasing their faith together over the promises of God. They agree and it's done. Now there's another prayer that's different, totally different. The prayer of dedication. The prayer of dedication has an if involved. The prayer of dedication involves a surrenderedness to God. It's a prayer of surrender to God. And when you pray the prayer of dedication, you have to set yourself willing to do God's will. And you say, Lord, if you want me to do this, I'm willing. If you want me to do that, I'm willing. See, that's a prayer of dedication. You're willing for whatever the will of God is. And he always carries an if. Now Jesus prayed the prayer of dedication. Before he went to the cross, he said to the Father, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, he says, not my will, but yours be done. That's the prayer of dedication to God. There's an if involved. But if you take the if and put it into a prayer of faith, it is doubt. But if you pray a prayer of dedication without the if, you could be unsurrendered. It's just like God dealing with a person to make them willing. Somebody says, oh God, please don't send me to India. Please. I think Scott Wesley Brown has a song. Please don't send me to Africa. Right? I think Scott Wesley Brown has a song. And that's a dangerous statement. Because when you say, please don't, that's when he starts dealing with your life. So God starts dealing with this guy and says, you must be willing. You must be willing. He said, no, don't, Lord, you can't. I can't. And God deals with this person until this person says, Lord, finally, after a lot of internal struggle, the person comes to God and says, Lord, I'm willing. Now willing to go, I'm ready to go. Sacrifice on the altar, Lord. Lord says, all right, good. Now you don't have to go. All God wants us to surrender fully. If you ever pray a prayer of surrender and say, Lord, take everything except, that's the most dangerous prayer. The Holy Spirit will remind you day and night about the except. Now the purpose of the prayer of dedication is to bring us into the will of God. To bring us into the will of God. The purpose of the prayer of faith is to bring us into the experience of God's promises. You pray the prayer of faith when it is covered between the covers of the Bible as a promise. But other areas that are not within the cover of the Bible as a promise, then we need to pray the prayer of dedication. The prayer of dedication is a prayer to ask God for His revelation on our personal life, our personal will, His personal will that He has for us. It covers God's will. One covers God's word, one covers God's will. Prayer dedication. And that is found, I haven't given the scriptures yet, might as well give the scriptures. And in all the Gospels, but just give one example, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus praying a prayer of dedication. Matthew chapter 26, in verse 39, he says, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now he's praying a prayer of dedication. The third type of prayer that we're going to consider is a prayer of intercession, and involved with it is what we call continual prayer. That's what I call a third category. In the third category of prayer, you're praying for somebody else's will. You're praying for another person. Another free will is involved. Another free choice is involved. You cannot exercise your faith to override their free choice. See, it's a different compartment altogether. The prayer of faith is exercised where the promises of God is concerned, and you have the revelation of God in their life, you can claim the promises of God. Exercise faith in that. Like Abraham, keep calling those things which be not as though they were, they will come to pass. You have the revelation of God of His word. You have faith of God. Whatever you have the faith of God to believe for of His promises, you can receive it. And if you get two people who got the same revelation and the same faith level, then you can have the prayer of agreement. Now, a lot of what they call prayer of agreement is not the prayer of agreement. It's not just two people coming together. Sometimes two people coming together is a prayer of disagreement. Sometimes that happens. I mean, one time there were these four fellows who were trying to cast out a demon, and four of them were struggling. In the end, they struggled on through the night, and they realized, hey, all four of them got different styles. One was saying, "The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood." One was saying, "The name, the name, the name, the name." And one was saying, "What's your name? What's your name? What's your name?" And the fourth one was just watching. So I came to the scene, I said, I think it's better if the three of you sit down, since there's so many different methods, and just let one guy go and handle it, the rest all pray for that guy. If you want to try that style, let him try that style. No offense. No problem. And if I'm together with different ministers and they got different style, right, I will honor them. No problem, you go ahead first. And especially when there's so many different styles, you know. Some people don't lay hands, I mean, they lay legs. Hallelujah. Come on, yeah. Right. I'm still looking for scripture though. It must be in Mark chapter 17, verse 18. They shall lay legs. And so, it's important to get the agreement. Sometimes when you go with two or three people, make sure you're in agreement. When you're praying for a sick person, one person is praying, "Father God, we thank you for your healing virtue." The other fellow in the mind is saying, "Hey, I don't know if this fellow is going to die or not." That's not agreement. There's no agreement at all. Then when John G. Lake's mom was sick, he was looking all over the United States for someone who could agree with him in the early days. And in the end, he had nobody to call to but one guy, Alexander David. And he said, "Hey, I'm looking all over the United States for someone who could agree with me. Everyone thinks that he will die, but I have the faith and I need someone who had the faith too." And when they connected together, they got the result. It's sometimes difficult to get someone. And when they connected together, they got the result.
It's sometimes difficult to get someone to agree with faith. It's not just two or three coming together, it's two or three coming in my name. So at the faith level. At least in the prayer of faith, our will is concerned, and if another comes in a prayer agreement, their free will has the same revelation and they have agreed. Willingly, not compelled or coerced, they are freely coming into the revelation. The prayer of dedication is seeking God to discover His will in our personal life. See, the Bible tells us a lot of general things, but it doesn't tell us which company to work for, and it doesn't tell us which Bible school to join, or whether which ministry you're in. See, there are specific things that we need to pray for, and it can only come by the prayer of dedication. The Bible has a lot of promises. It promises you that God will bless you, take care of all your needs, you know, physical, spiritual, emotional, but it doesn't tell you who you're going to marry. Don't try the Kaplan method. It burns away Kaplan. Kaplan means to take your Bible, pray out, and it opens. It falls Kaplan, and you put your finger there, you know. Then, for the first name, oh, Mary Magdalene. Right. Wait one fine day, you throw your Bible up, it falls somewhere and seems to look at it and say, Jezebel. That's dangerous. So, the Bible doesn't tell us who we're going to marry. We have to pray the prayer of dedication to God, to discover God's will. We have to put ourselves to neutral. We say, Lord, we just want your best and your will. And only when we pray the prayer of dedication, God's will is revealed. Then the third category, which we are touching on, the prayer of intercession has 2 degrees, just as the prayer of faith has 2 degrees. See, the prayer of faith is number one, the one person praying for himself. But if another person comes in, the prayer agreement is magnified and multiplied. The prayer of intercession has also 2 degrees. One is when you personally intercede for another person. Their free will is involved. You cannot pray the prayer of faith for them because their free will is involved. See, a lot of people are not having the results because they're trying to use the prayer of faith for this. And they use wisdom for that. And then they use dedication for this area of healing. No, it has its place. Again, like I say, it's just like running into the soccer field, the hockey stick. Right? Spiritually, they're running into this land here with the east stick there on them. No, it has its own area. When you are praying for another person whose will is involved, free will, you have to pray the prayer of intercession, which takes a different realm of revelation altogether. It's a different realm. Then you could multiply in the continual prayer by getting more people to pray for that person. Say, brother, why do you make it different? Not here. In the prayer of intercession, you don't pray once. In the prayer of faith, you pray once. The prayer of dedication, you pray as often as God leads you. Every time you have a blessing, you have to dedicate your life again. It's one thing for a 17-year-old student to come to the altar and say, all to Jesus I surrender. All they have is $10 in their pocket. One TV bank on their desk at home. And a couple of books and their clothing in their cupboard. It's a different thing for a businessman to come up, 40 years old, has 3 bank accounts, 5 companies, 10 cars, and sing, all to Jesus. It's different. He said, all to Jesus I surrender. Takes a lot. So we realize that you cannot pray the prayer of dedication yesterday for today. You dedicate yourself when you were 17, you got to keep dedicating yourself as you increase. As God bless you, each time He bless you, you got to dedicate yourself to God so that you keep a consecrated life to God. The more God blesses, you got to say, God, I dedicate again to you. More blessings come, but God dedicated it to him again, so that you're not attached to them. So the prayer of dedication is something you've got to pray all our lives. And after you're married, then you've got more to dedicate. You've got to dedicate your wife, your children, and that more things. Then as God blesses more, and you're more involved in our affairs of this life, you've got more things to dedicate to God. So it's a continual prayer all our lives. Jesus continued praying right after Calvary. But the prayer of intercession is powerful. You don't just pray once. You continually surround a person with spiritual influence and make it possible for God to reach down and touch this person without demonic hindrances in their life. See, the prayer of intercession and continual prayer doesn't force the person. You cannot exercise faith once. But it's a prayer that you continually bring before God. You could do some principles like visualizing and seeing God's power, touching it, no problem. But it's something that you've got to continually do. So in a sense, you need faith also in God hearing you, but it is not something you do once. You have to keep doing it again and again and again and again. In a sense, it's not begging God, but it's just bringing to God and taking authority over that realm. And let's see some Bible incidences here. In the book of Acts chapter 12. And now I want to show from the Bible that this is not the prayer of faith. Since they got result, it is classified in a different category of prayer. Acts chapter 12. Acts 12 verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now that's an intercessory prayer that is being made by the whole church. You notice it says continual prayer. They were interceding for Peter to be free. James, the apostle, had just died a few verses earlier. Unless Peter had told them, none of them would know whether Peter was going to be a martyr or going to be free. Some of them may know, some may not. When is the promise that they can exercise for Peter to be free? Because the Lord did mention some of them will be martyrs. James had just become a martyr in God. But here's Peter saying this. Peter personally probably knew that it was not time for him to go yet. How did he know? Because the Lord told him that when you are old, another will take you where you don't want to go. When you are old. So his time probably has not come yet. Unless Peter had said that with anybody, yet here was another person involved. There is another theory involved, and apparently it's an area where there are no concrete promises you could really hold on to. You could hold on to general promises, God hearing your prayer, etc., taking authority, etc., but look at it here. They didn't just pray once. They didn't, as a whole church, got together. Remember, this is a revival church. If anybody understood the prayer of faith, they should. They didn't just stand up and say, well, let's believe God and let's pray, believe that we have received Peter is free, and then all go to sleep. He would have died. No, they had to continually pray. And as the continual praying, God sent an angel. I believe, as I read the scripture, that the angel came because of them. Because of their continual prayer. So here in Acts chapter 12, is God sending an angel in verse 7, and the angel set Peter free. Now how do I know they are not praying the prayer of faith? Because when Peter was set free, Peter went, it was in the night time, he went to the house of Mark where they were praying, and he knocked on the door. a girl named Rhoda opened. Saw Peter, recognized him, was so excited, closed the door back. Went back to these guys who were praying for him. And these guys were praying for him. They were praying for what? For him to be set free, of course. I'm holding him in prayer. He came to these fellows who were praying. I mean, they have been praying almost the whole night. Came to these fellows and said, hey, the girl said, Peter is out there at the door. One of them said, gentlemen, I think he has died. They're praying for him, now they say he died. That is his angel out there to tell us he has gone out. I'm not making it up. Look at the Bible in Acts chapter 12. Tells us here in verse 14, when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but went in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they, that is more than one, they said to her, you are mad. I mean, they're praying for him. Here's this girl telling them that the prayer is answered. And they say, you've gone cuckoo. That's another way of saying you're beside yourself. Now, if they were praying the prayer of faith and believing God in faith, when somebody announced your prayer is answered, you'll be jumping up and down. So praise God, that's what I'm believing for. Somehow or other, when people tell them your prayer is answered, they look blank for a while. Scolded the girl too. They were not praying the prayer of faith. See, the prayer of faith, you should have been seeing it, visualizing it, and you say, well, it's expected. They were not exercising the prayer of faith. It's a different realm of prayer altogether. It's called the prayer of intercession and continual prayer. And as they prayed in that area, in Acts chapter 12, they said, one of them said in verse 15, some said she was mad, some said it was his angel. You notice something in verse 15? It says, yet she kept insisting. In other words, they had a small argument. She said, it's Peter out there. I tell you, it's Peter. I tell you, it's Peter. They said, no, you're mad. If the Bible says she insists, means they must have argued. If there's no argument and there's no reason, they just say, oh, Peter is it, and they obviously ran to the door, she wouldn't have to insist. But they keep saying, no, something's wrong with you. They had to examine her. They didn't go to the door to examine whether Peter was there. Finally, when the girl was persistent, tell you, when you get the lady turned on, they are like bulldogs. They won't let go of the promises of God. Praise God. That's no problem. Have bulldog faith. Praise the Lord. Bulldog faith. But don't have bulldog faith. They're the ugliest dog in the world. So we have in Acts chapter 12 here. Here is Peter waiting outside. Here they are still arguing inside here. Finally, the girl was so persistent, they said, all right, we will go. And lo, that Peter was there, waiting so long for them. It would be all right if they had not been praying for him. Maybe they were sleeping. But the fact is, they had been praying for him. Normally, if you're praying for somebody and they show up, we say, praise God, prayer answered. But watch it here. They were so caught up in the intensity of praying for him, they just keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. They say, Peter is outside. No, don't disturb us. You're mad. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. She is making a lot of noise. They say, no, we are praying. Say, who are you praying for? Peter. I tell Peter is outside. No, we are praying for him here. Keep on praying, you know, intercession. Hallelujah. An intercession is what I call a persistent prayer, not in the area of faith, but in the area of a persistence, holding someone up before the Lord, believing God's working in their life.
Some of you have been praying for your loved ones, but you tried to apply the prayer of faith, and it didn't work. You blame God. You should not apply the prayer of faith in that area. Prayer of faith is the promises of God that doesn't involve another person's will. Say, brother, what happens if another person is willing? Then you pray the prayer of agreement. But here in the prayer intercession, the other person, you're not sure, he's not there to say whether he or she agrees. You may be praying for someone to be saved who doesn't want to be saved. How to pray the prayer of agreement? He said, hey, I'm praying for you to be saved. Will you agree with me to be saved? We do not have authority over human spirits. We only have authority over demon spirits. So please make a note of that. Some Christians, when they sing the song, oh, we are kings and priests in Christ. And they will go to authorities. I mean, government authority, all this. And they say, praise God, I'm king. You're not. You're a humble little pilgrim. We don't have authority over human spirits and human beings. Remember that. We only have authority in the spirit realm. Demon powers. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. The book of Romans. So you don't go to your boss, who is an unbeliever, who smokes and drinks and scolds. You're newly born again, baptized in the Spirit, Bible carrying, hand laying, demon chasing, charismania. You go to your boss, you have just heard, you know, oh, we are kings and priests in Christ. You go to your boss and say, boss, I'm taking authority in Jesus' name. The boss turns around and says, you're fired. We can't. Please, believers, Christians, no. We learn the word of faith. We learn our authority of a believer by all means. But we have no right to take authority in the secular realm, in the over human beings. Respect those who got placed in authority. Respect your government. Respect government authority. Respect the soldiers. Respect the uniformed police. Respect them. We have to give honor to whom honor is due. But in the spirit world, you can pray and take dominion. See, we don't take dominion over human spirits. We take dominion over demon spirits, spiritual influences. We are to love human beings. So sometimes people don't differentiate. They go to humans and try to cut human spirit out. They can't cut the human spirit out. The only way it comes out is when they die. No, we keep loving them. We should love human spirits, human souls, and cast out demons. Now, intercession works this way, in that the person's free will may not be involved at all. But it's your willingness to pray and intercede for the person. What you're doing is literally surrounding this person with the presence of God and preventing demon powers from hindering the free choice. See, what God wants to do is that out there, the Bible says that the world is being influenced by demon powers, immorality, sin, and evil is abounding. And the world is in darkness, and evil influences try to hamper society and human beings. And so what we do is that out there it says in the book, and we quote a few scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it tells us the God of this world, Satan, is blinding people's eyes and minds. And Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us that the prince or the power of the air is controlling the minds of people, causing them to go into the lust of the flesh and all kinds of evil immorality. And so all these things are happening because they're under influence. Our intercession does this. It blocks up the demon influence so that the person can now be free to make a free choice without influence. here's an added fact as far as demons are concerned. See, people have asked this question and said, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were given a chance. But when Satan and his cohorts, one third of the angels, the Bible says, fell into sin, they were judged. Why was Satan not given a second chance? Two reasons from the scripture I could give you. Number one, Satan sinned without temptation. He chose. Number two, which include all his fallen angels, according to the measure of the revelation of God, if you choose to fall from that revelation, there is no return. And that principle includes human beings too. See, God is a fair God. He works on principles. The book of Hebrews chapter 6 tells us, Hebrews chapter 6 says, it is impossible for those who have tasted the good word of God, who have tasted the gifts of the Holy Spirit, who have tasted of all these wonderful blessings of God that God has given, in other words, who are mature, who have gone into the depths of God, as in Hebrews 6, tasted the powers of the age to come, and then in verse 6, if they fall away, not possible to renew them. The Bible says it. Hebrews 10 also says the same thing about that group of people. Hebrews 10 tells us in verse, let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. If we deal with this topic there in verse 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be brought thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, commenting, insulted the Spirit of grace. It tells us there that those who reject such things and who does so, that is a much worse punishment. Much worse punishment. There is no more repentance. So based on that second principle, the angels who have, before the world was created, been moving with God and in the depths of God, when they chose, after the deep revelation of God, to fall away, no more chance. Adam and Eve fell under temptation. That is why the human race was given a chance. Otherwise, we'll be gone. Now, if you are here tonight and you're thinking, I wonder whether I committed that sin or not. If you think like that, you have not. I wonder whether I have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's no more repentance for me. If you could think like that, you have not. Because those who have won't even think about that. So you're alright. Okay? So I have to say that in case some people will take some of these scriptures and pull one small thing of what you say and just pull it to the extreme. But it's there in the Word, if you examine it, it's there in the Word. Now, when man fell into sin, he came under the subject of Satan's influence. And satanic powers have been influencing all the time. And sometimes a person whom you are interceding, or before you intercede, they keep on doing certain things, but in the presence of Christians, they start getting back again. Then if you're not around again, they fall. These are those who need a lot of intercession skills. Why? Because they are not strong enough to resist the devil themselves. And our intercessions help by surrounding these people with a hedge of prayer. Our intercession can never force a person to come to know God. Remember that. We cannot force the human free will.
But our intercessions make it easier for the person to choose freely without external influences. And we all know, if any human soul were to be isolated from every influence and just be alone with the presence of God dealing, who can receive the love of Jesus? The song says, how can you resist Him now? How can you refuse Him now? How can you turn away from His side? Very hard to receive the love of the Lord. And I have to say that to assure you, if your intercession is powerful enough, the heart of man will cry out to God when they're isolated in God. But remember, free will is being involved. Sometimes a person reaches a stage, very few times though, very few do, but some reach a stage where they are, their very nature is so satanic already. They have gone so deep into sin that they literally do not want God anymore. It is sad to say, God's heart is grieved too. It's sad, but it happens. See, God did not make hell for us. The Bible says hell was made for the devil and his angels. Just in the book of Matthew, chapter, we're talking about intercession here, so we're covering all these side points. Gospel of Matthew, let's look first at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew. Jesus in His teaching tells us, and this is in chapter 25, verse 41 of Matthew. Then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. Look at verse 41. Hell was never made for human beings. There are a lot of angry human beings out there who think that God has damned man. God has not. He has given the ministry of reconciliation to bring man back to Him. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But the devil and his angels, through their cunning, salty, subtleness, has drawn a lot of human souls with them. It was never meant for human souls. Because the church of Jesus Christ is failing in its intercessory role. We are not praying enough. TV is taking our time from prayer. A lot of activities in our modern society is taking our time away from prayer. I believe in the Bible days, it's very common for people to pray 10, 12 hours a day. They got nothing else to do. Once they're born again. And I know, because in the early days of ministry, I had few ministry way up north in Malaysia. And they don't have that time, in those days, videos and all those TVs were not that well established. And what the people in the town do, small little town, Kaki Bukit, and when in the night time, all the fellows would sit around in the streets and chat. So you can imagine, if someone is born again, they will just gather together in the home and talk about the Lord or pray. And the brother who recently we met today, Agong Banga, and in the village, they will just keep praying. I mean, there's no other form of entertainment. God entertains them. And he was sharing with me how recently he went to a mountain and praying all alone, nobody there, just went to the mountain alone. He prayed on the mountain alone 3 days. First day he prayed, whole night. Second day he prayed, the birds came.
and stand with him. I said, this is from St. Francis of Assisi. I read a lot. I said, this is interesting. And when I began to fellowship with some of these simple folks who don't know some of the technology we know, and who have all these modern inventions, all they have is these little villages with the trees around them and the mountains around them. And when they are finished with the agricultural work, they just get there and pray. We have lost some of that in the city life. And we need to get that back together. We need to get back into the depth of prayer. Continual prayer. Continual prayer. And you spend a lot of time with God, your whole being and mind and being is transformed. It's powerful. It transforms you. Take this challenge. If you spend 10 to 12 hours a day, even for 1 week, you will never be the same person. It doesn't cost much. In fact, it saves. Less electricity used from your TV. Less newspaper cost 50 cents a day for 1 week. And if you will spend that time with God, the body of Christ is going to see something transformed. And I sense in my heart the stirring in the spirit, where He's going to call more and more of His people, and He's calling some of you, into the cluster to spend hours and hours and hours with God, with a prayer of intercession. We have not, brethren, we have not been persistent enough. We have prayed a bit here, a bit there. It's nothing. Nothing compared to what the enemy is seeking to do. There are too many distractions. Remember, distractions are there. The Bible mentioned them. The thorns. See that fell among thorns. Distractions of this life. And we have to get back to that. There's no other shortcut. We could get 100 people, 500 people, 1,000 people, 2,000 people, 4,000 people, 5,000 people praying 10 to 12 hours a day for your nation. Think about what will happen. Powerful. People who just walk in, fly into the atmosphere, boom, get under conviction. Powerful. And you need to do that. You need to get back to the depth that men and women used to have with God. Learn the prayer of faith by all means. Get your needs met. Learn the prayer of dedication. Learn the prayer of intercession. By all these types of prayer, prayer and fasting are the key to enter deeper into each realm. The prayer and fasting applies to prayer of faith. It applies to dedication, and it applies to the area of intercession. Because there are 7 levels of revelation. 7 levels. There is a revelation of the Word. See, the only way we can understand the Word is by revelation. So Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon the Ephesians, that they may know 3 things: the hope of their calling, the riches of the inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of the power that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead. All these are already given in Christ, and he prayed that what has been given in Christ would be revealed to them, their eyes open to see and understand. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus touched the understanding of the disciples and helped them to understand the scripture. It's in the Bible in Luke chapter 24. There are 7 levels of revelation. This is how fasting ties up to the various prayer, as we conclude here. Luke chapter 24. Gospel of Luke 24. It tells us here in verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. See, unless we see the revelation in the Word, we won't know that the promise is for us. I mean, just 200 years ago, it was not known very well that there was a truth of the baptism in the Spirit. Maybe in church history, sprinkling here and there have it. But today, that truth has spread abroad in the Pentecostal movement, which Time magazine calls the third move in Christianity, third wave. So we realize that it's in the Bible, and unless we see it, how can, like Paul asked, how can they believe if they have never heard? How can they hear without a preacher? Or how can they hear spiritually unless God sends either a minister who has seen it or God opens our eyes to see it? So prayer of faith has to do with the promises of God. I mean, remember those days when we used to keep falling sick and keep going to this problem and that problem, and then we realized, hey, healing is a children's bread. And we discover it belongs to us. We start claiming the promises of God and we are free from those things. So unless it becomes a revelation to us, we can never pray the prayer of faith. That is why fasting and prayer deals with two areas. If you study the whole Bible, fasting and prayer deals with, number one, repentance. Number two, revelation. All through the Bible. It always brings repentance. It's a sign of repentance, humbling ourselves before God. And it's a sign of revelation. It brings forth revelation. And we can continually, if you don't understand something in the Word, before you can pray the prayer of faith, you want to know, God, what in your Word, what do you say in your Word about this area of my need? Is there any scriptures? Perhaps there are no preachers to preach on that yet. Perhaps there are no books that have written on that yet. Lord, what does your Word say? Teach me, Lord. How can you increase in the revelation of the Word? Prayer and fasting for revelation in the Word. The first realm of revelation. Seven areas of revelation. Notice that Daniel, when he didn't understand the promises, the prophecies and promises that were given to him, look at what Daniel did. Quickly go over to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 9, notice in verse 2, he read certain things in the book of Jeremiah about the 70 years, and he thought he understood them, but he did not. So God, because he was fasting and seeking God, in verse 3, God sent him revelation about the scriptures. Now look at Daniel chapter 10, 2. In verse 1 and 2, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, when the message was with him, he partially understood it yet, but he was praying for the full understanding. You know this in verse 2. He fasted 3 full days, 3 full weeks, a partial fast. And notice that when God answered the prayer in verse 11, it says, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the word that I speak to you. Notice why it says, stand up, right? For now I have now been sent to you. He is bringing to Daniel a revelation. And Satan sent the prince of Persia to fight him tooth and nail to prevent the revelation from coming to Daniel. Then Satan will fight tooth and nail to prevent the word of God from being a revelation in your life. He will prevent you from knowing the full truth in the Bible, if possible, because the truth sets us free. When we discover that Jesus took our sins, we were free from sin. When we discover Jesus took our sicknesses, we are free from our sicknesses. We begin to claim the promises of God. As long as we discover the truth, we are free. So he fights the truth. And the promises of God, we need to receive more of it by revelation. I would say we possibly have not tapped on all the promises of God yet. They are waiting to be discovered more and more. And we can pray and fast for revelation in God's Word. When you get revelation in God's Word, you can exercise the prayer of faith. Number two, prayer and fasting brings revelation about God's will in our life. A lot of people are not discovering God's will in their life. See, as you pray the prayer or dedication, and you combine it with fasting and prayer, see, fasting doesn't change God, but it sure changes us. For one thing, you grow thinner. Fasting and prayer brings us, combined with the prayer of faith, as you fast and pray, God will reveal more the promises of God. Fasting and prayer combined with the prayer dedication brings a greater revelation of God's will in our life personally. You begin to discover God's personal will in your life. And God will tell you specifically whether it's His will for you to be here or to be there. Whether it's His will for you to serve in this ministry or that ministry. Fasting and prayer brings a revelation. In the book of Acts chapter 13, as the church of Antioch was praying, in verse 1 and 2, as the church of Antioch prayed together, in verse 2 it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, see they were fasting, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Notice, a revelation of God's will came to the church. God specifically said, alright, I'm calling now Barnabas and Paul. So specific. They are fasting. Fasting brings revelation of God's will. Fasting and prayer combined with intercession brings a powerful move of God of deliverance. And one you find all over the Bible. And the nation intercedes, you see what happens. And if you note very carefully, that in the book of Acts chapter 12, continual prayer was made in verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison. And it says that, but constant, the Bible says constant or continual prayer was made, was offered to God for him by the church. Although fasting is not mentioned inside, I will assume that there was tremendous fasting and prayer involved. I want you to know, to see what Jesus said about his intercession that he does for others. Look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. It tells us that in verse 33, Peter said to the Lord, even if all are made to stumble, because of you I will never be made to stumble. Jesus prophesied he will deny three times. But he didn't stop there. In a cross reference to the other Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke, please. Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 33, 32 and 33. Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 31 and 32, Simon, Simon, now satanic activity is involved here. Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And when I read that at first, I was very puzzled. Why must Satan ask Jesus? Couldn't he have just come to tempt or sway Peter? Do you know this? Jesus said, look at what Jesus said. I'm not adding this, the Bible says it, verse 31. Satan asked for you. That's food for thought. The Lord was such an intercessor. You can read about that in Hebrews 5. That when the disciples came under his wings, they came under his intercessory protection. Satan could not even touch them without coming to him. Wow. Men of God, pastors of church, do you intercede for your church? And hold your church in prayer that the devil cannot come against any one of your church people without coming through you. Some people hear that, hey, don't come to me. Wait a minute. There's a positive aspect here. See, they didn't teach this in seminary. I wish they did. I had to learn it in a school, hard not. 99% of church problems can be handled by prayer. Not committee meetings. When Jesus had a problem, he didn't call a committee meeting. He went into prayer. Well, we have committee meetings too. They have their place and time. It's only a little bit of the areas that you need a real committee meeting to just handle it. You're not bogged down by the physical thing. See, a church is a spiritual entity, not a physical organization, although it is. Sometimes we allow the physical organization to take 99% of our time and 1% left for spirituality. When the church is basically a spiritual entity, an organization should be kept at the minimum where it's practical and necessary. You cannot run a spiritual entity with carnal methods. And I found this, that many times when something is happening, and people will say, hey, take this action, take that action, take this, take that, take this, you know. And if I were you kind of syndrome, I would do this. And I say, wait, patient. Say, aren't you doing anything, pastor? Isn't there a committee meeting? I know, how about excommunication? Say, wait. Say, I'm doing something, but it cannot be seen yet. Just like Jesus saying, you know, I have food which you know not of. Are they doing something? In the prayer closet. And a lot of those times, sometimes, like for example, if one of my elders, you know, gets into a problem and I know about that, right? We don't take committee meeting action or anything. Those are very rare. I'll get on my knees and pray them through. Sometimes without, in a natural, lifting one finger. But on my knees, really interceding for them through. And we've seen them break through. When you got those answers solely by prayer, it becomes powerful. When Satan wants to attack the disciples of Jesus, they were under such a hedge of prayer protection that Satan was going round and round, and you find no way around and say, hey, you know, I want that guy. Jesus did not say, take him. See, Peter also opened some doors. He opened some doors in his life, possibly, you know, in his doubt and in his unbelief here and there. But this is what I like Jesus saying. He said the next sentence there, he says in verse 32, Luke 22. But I have prayed for you. Look at the power of Jesus' intercession. Before Peter fell, he told Peter, you're going to fall. Before Peter fell, he already prayed for Peter when he fell that he will come out and be alright. And he hasn't even fallen yet, he's already praying about his fall. That he will come out. What a tremendous intercessor our Lord is. Says, Peter, I prayed for you. You haven't fallen yet, but you're going to fall and deny me three times. Peter said, no, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. As usual, engaging his mouth before his head. Later on, he did. He swore. He cursed. He denied. But remember what Jesus said. I had prayed for you. And he's so confident that he says, when your turn, and return to me, strengthen the others. See, it's possible in our intercessory ministry to sense the answer coming to you. You cannot claim it like you do in a prayer of faith. But you could sense a praying through. I know when I was praying for my father, prayed for him for 1 year. And every day, I would just remember him before the Lord in prayer. See, when I went into the ministry, my family threatened to chase me out of the house. And I obeyed God. And my father threatened to disown me. And I went obeying the Lord. And I had to literally take up the cross and follow him. And not knowing where I was going. And when I was there, every month my father would send $100 to me. He was not born again. I had no means of support but that. So every time, every month he faithfully sent. And every time I see his money order and letter, I went. I say, Lord, why do you choose him to supply my needs? Now that I depended on that. He does not even know you. And I went to the Lord and I cried, Lord, if there's one present I can give my father, I want him to be with me in heaven. I want the assurance that he's safe and I'll meet him in heaven. And I pray and cry and pray and cry. I could not exercise the prayer of faith, but I just keep bringing him before the Lord. One day, when I remember I was going down the hill to the prayer, to the choir place, I was going down, and I sat in the choir, the Spirit came all over me. I don't know why, I started weeping, started crying, and something in me said, he is safe. Now, he was not safe yet, but something in me said, your prayers are heard. The next month, I went home for the holiday, and we were on a choir tour, and when we went, my father came to my hometown where we were singing. That night he came and attended a meeting, Christian meeting for the first time. And then we had two more days, and we went two more days. After that, we broke off, and we each went to our home. And I went home, and my father told me this. That night, when he went to that meeting and came home, he had a dream. In the dream, he saw a huge, big cross. And he was standing so small at the foot of the cross. And when I heard that, I said, Pa, you call my dad, Pa, I said, Pa, that is the Lord telling you that he has come to save you. And then he said, you know these tracks that you used to leave all over the house? I said, yeah. I used to pick one of them, he said, and turn to the back page where there's a prayer and pray there every day. And I didn't know. But for 1 month, he was praying the last page. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and life and be my Savior. 1 month he was praying. And I said, Pa, you are saved. And he has gone already to be with the Lord. And I thank God that intercession worked. But the key in intercession is persistence. You don't give up. You just keep and you don't know much what to pray in English, pray in tongues. And keep at it, and keep at it, and keep at it. And what a joy when I baptized my father and my mother in the Straits of Johor after they were born again. My father has gone back to be with the Lord. I thank God that I will meet him someday because I remember to save him. Say, brother, did you claim any promises? I did. But another free will was there. I claim Acts 16 verse 31. My whole household shall be saved. But you see, their free will is involved. I cannot force my faith on them. I have to honor their faith and just keep surrounding them. You see, intercession is surrounding a person with a hedge so that the devil cannot come through. And so that God could have direct dealings with them. That's what intercession does. So the third level of prayer and fasting, what it does over here is that when you fast and pray, it combined with prayer and intercession, it can bring to you the revelation of God concerning things in a person's life whom you're interceding for. So that you could pray more specifically. See, in a prayer of faith, fasting can bring revelation of God's word. In a prayer or dedication, it can bring revelation about God's will for your life. But when you combine it with intercession, God can reveal to you about the people whom you pray and fast over. He could reveal hindrances in your life. He could reveal things in that you could speak to them even. Revelations of God, perhaps needs in their life that he could speak to you about. That's powerful things in God. And that's what intercession combined with fasting. See, fasting brings revelation in those areas. We need a revelation about people. See, if we were to fast and intercede for our church meeting, for your church meeting, God may reveal to you needs that are there before the meeting is taking place. The intercession combined with fasting reveals the needs of the very people you intercede for. Revelation is involved. That's the third area of revelation. The fourth area of revelation, of course, is a revelation of, fourth and fifth are revelation of the spirit world. Fourth is a revelation regarding demonic work. It takes a revelation of God to expose the enemy's work. Sometimes by the grace of God, he reveals and he teaches how the enemy operates. Like for example, Howard Pittman in the book Demons and Eyewitness Accounts. He mentioned how God took him into the spirit realm and showed him the revelation of the enemy's kingdom, how it's set up, and he knows how they operate. Then the fifth level of revelation is revelation of the spirit world. That is angels and all the spirit world and all how they work. That's another realm of revelation in God. See, fourth and fifth are a revelation of the spirit world. Fourth is of demonic world. The fifth is of angelic world. See, in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elisha prayed for that boy, and Elisha said, "They who are with us are more than those who are against us." And the boy says, "Where?" And Elisha prayed, but his eyes opened. When his eyes were opened, he saw the multitude of spiritual protection that God had. It's the opening of spiritual eyes. And Paul had the same thing when he talked about speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about visions and revelations, which he finds that human words could not express, or things he saw and heard. So there's revelations of the spirit world that God can bring forth. Daniel tapped into that when he fasted and prayed a lot. He's a man of prayer, he's a man of fasting. And you notice, angels come and talk to him like nobody's business. All the time. And some of us may think it strange, but let me tell you, I've been in fellowship with some of these people from the revival in East Malaysia. And they are seeing angels and things all around happening all the time. Because you break into that realm. William Branham, before he broke into the level of his ministry where he functioned in, he knew something strange was happening, And he set aside time, and he went with a tub of water, went into a log cabin somewhere and said, unless I find out what is causing all this, I will not return. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him. From then onward, he constantly see the angel in his ministry. Now later on in his life, he went off track when he went into some error and wrong teaching. But during the time when he was walking right with God in the teaching and as a prophet, there was not a single miss in what he saw. He always operated with the angels of God. So we could tap into that realm and move into the realm of God. Like Daniel. You think about people like Zechariah, where they are hearing angels talking, seeing all these things. See, John says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and he was caught up and heard things that I have not seen nor ear heard. And there's a promise in the Bible, Isaiah 64 verse 4, also quoted in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says, I has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Powerful thing. Powerful realm. Realm of the spirit world. Sixth area of revelation you find in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 and chapter 3 also mentioned. The revelation of the church of Jesus Christ. It was given to the apostles and the prophets, and that same revelation continues today. The pattern of which God is bringing and doing in the church has tremendous things involved. In the bride of Christ that God is building, we have time, we will touch on that from time to time. But the seventh level of revelation, the most glorious, is the revelation of God. The revelation of God. And God wants us to know him. And all these areas and realms of revelation, we could all get deeper into in prayer and in fasting. And as we come to a closing, God, I just want to share with you about the revelation of God. See, God wants to reveal to us himself. The Bible says it's a mystery, but he did not choose to remain a mystery. He wants to reveal himself to his children. Jesus came to reveal the Father. And as we pray, the official way of praying is to the Father in Jesus' name, with our life obeying and obedient and yielding to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, pray, our Father who art in heaven. Paul in Ephesians 1, Philippians 1, Colossians 1, pray to God our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, they call upon the Lord, saying, Lord, look. But you know they're referring to the Father, because later on they say, thy holy child, Jesus. A lot of people have the revelation of Jesus, but some have moved into the revelation and they know the Holy Spirit now. But God wants us to move into the revelation of the Father. Our Father God. A God of love. And when God began to reveal to me the Father's love and the Father's heart, I was never the same again. Never the same. Because I understood, Jesus said he came to show us the Father. You pray in Jesus' name to the Father. And you fast pray all these prayers. See, on the night of January, the 18th, after the Lord appeared to me on the 17th, when I was in my room and I was just caught with the revelation of God and just continued to pray, I could not stop praying. In the night, there came this ball of fire. And this ball of fire stood at one end of the room and I was here on this area. It came into the room and it stopped. And I said, Lord, in my spirit I recognize the Lord. And he said, Lord, I know it's you. The moment I say it, the light started coming near me, and then when it touched my forehead, it was like I was caught into the spirit world. And in the spirit world, it felt like the world was right in front of me. And it was that small, and I was feeling and sensing what the Father was sensing, the heartbeat of God. If you have ever felt compassion for the sick when you pray for them, you multiply that a billion times and you will have a glimpse of the love of God. And what I felt was the awesome love of God for the world. And it was such that if one sparrow were to drop to the from the sky to the ground and die, God felt the hurt. But I never felt anything like that. And every time man was grieved and hurt and the laws of God broken and man suffered, it was the heart of felt the heart of God tearing out from the chest like that. And I began to realize that every imperfection on this earth is causing God grief. Every sin, every imperfection, whether of human race or animal kingdom, even one bird fall to the sky and drop down and die, God knows it. How does he know? He feels the grief. Bible tells in the book of Genesis 6 that when God had to destroy the world, he was grieved. I had a small sense of what it felt like. When I felt that grief of God for the world, I said, Lord, is this how you felt? And I began to realize, suddenly the realization came to my life that as long as the perfect will of God is not done yet on the planet Earth, every imperfection was causing God grief. No wonder Jesus said, pray that the will of God be done on earth as is done in heaven. Because every small imperfection is hurting the heart of our Father. When God showed that, I wept and wept and wept until I had no more tears. And God was still feeling the grief. And that has been on my life all the time. Unless the will of God is done on the planet Earth, our Father is grieving until now. And oh God, he has to keep on grieving until the new heaven and the new earth. My God, he has been grieving since Adam fell. Thousands of human years, our Father has been in grief. No wonder that he sent his only Son, because it was hurting him. And he sent his only Son to die on the cross for our sins, to begin to bring healing back to the world and bring the world back to him. And I saw the Father God in his great love. Hey, Father God, I'll never be the same again. You would never rest day or night if you feel the heartbeat of God.
Sometimes when I go back from ministry, I just want to continue to weep before Allah, because I say, God, there's so much to be done. There's so much more. And we need more and more laborers. We need more and more people to bring perfection to the church. This heartbeat keeps going on and going on. One day, it will all be over. When for the first time in heaven and earth, when a new heaven and a new earth is remade, then for the thousand of years that our Father has been grieving, our Papa God will not weep anymore of me, because perfection has come, and His will and His kingdom has come on earth as it is in heaven. When I came out from that vision, I was different. I could not read and do not normal things anymore. The things of the world just lose its meaning. You got only one passion: the will of God on earth as it's done in heaven. And as long as your life is not doing God's will, He's grieving. He's grieving. Say, God, I want to be among the body of Christ and a part of the body of Christ that is bringing joy to you and helping those who are on their way to their will, Lord, until your perfect will is done. When I came back into the room, the Holy Spirit said, from now on, you will call God, who is your Father, your Papa. I say, God, all my theological training and all my minister's training, we have never been asked to call God Papa God. God began to show me that the word Abba in Romans 8 means daddy or papa. See, all the time the body of Christ has seen the Father far away, and we always call Him the eternal Father. But if we only know that He wants to take us in His arms and cuddle us like little children, that's how much He loves us. Jesus was in the bosom of the Father, and He has brought us into the bosom of the Father. Yet many of His children are afraid of the Father. Now the Father is crying out to them in love. I don't know what you call your early father. I don't call my early father daddy, although in Western countries they call daddy. When my early father was alive, I used to call my early father Pa. And God was just speaking to my heart. See, He was to be the father figure in my own personal life, Almighty God. Whatever you call your early father, the intimate words that you call, whether it be Papa or Daddy, God wants you to look up to Him, God the Father, and be able to say, Daddy or Papa. Now, the first time I did it, my whole being felt uncomfortable. I've always treated God officially, the gracious Heavenly Father. Then I started saying, Papa God, slowly something well up within me. I began to have the revelation of the Father. And I began to realize the Father wants to be our Papa. Our God wants us to be our Daddy. In my private prayer, I call God Papa, but not outside. But I want you to know that my inner life with God. And God wants to you to have the inner life with Him. With our Papa God. Oh, how He loves you. Bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Father God, reveal Yourself once again to Your people. We stand in awe of You. Father, oh Papa God, You have sent Your only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. Even though it cost You and it hurt, You sent Your Son, Jesus. And we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. We have come to know this Jesus. We have come to love our Lord Jesus. We have come to acknowledge the Lord Jesus. Oh, we have come to exalt, to magnify the works of Jesus. But yet many of us stand afar from You, Father. Even after You have sent Your Holy Spirit, and we have come to know Your Holy Spirit, we have come to yield to Your Spirit and follow the ways of Your Spirit. Oh, but Father God, so few of Your people really come to You, run to You and say we love You. And whenever we are not spending time with You, our hearts will be drawn back to You, causing us to run always back to our closet as quickly as possible and saying, Papa God, we have missed You. Your presence was with us, but we missed talking to You. We pray, Father, for the revelation of God, of You in each life. There are those here, Lord, every one of us here, Lord, need a father figure. There's none like You, oh Father God. There's none like You who could love like You love. And Father, we pray that Your will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Our hearts grieve when You are grieved, oh God. Our hearts long for the day that Your perfect will can be done, when You're no more feeling the grief on this earth. Make us instruments, O God, of Your will. Instruments, O God, to take the suffering of the human race and of this world away to the cross of Calvary. And more of Your will, O God, is done. Father, begin tonight right here, that Your will be done, O God. I can't stand that grief, Lord, of your heart. Enlarge my spirit, Lord. Oh God, that we may intercede with your spirit for the will of God to be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Right now, God, just pray for your will that I ask, O God, that the Holy Spirit would right now make real to every heart and life here the love of the Father. The love of the Father. Oh, how He loves us. How greatly He loves us. Let there be a revelation of your love in each heart and in each life right now. Let us never to be the same again, Lord. Touch us, melt us in your love. Let your love pour upon our hearts, Lord. That we may know the fullness of the love of God right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Very quietly, right where you are, just pray very softly because the Holy Spirit is coming over your life. You feel that presence of the Divine One hovering over your heart and life. Just pray very softly now. Whispering your prayers and those cries to Him right now. Right where you're sitting. Shukurabaha shikidida baha shatara. Just begin to pray for whatever is in your heart to God, just begin to pray for right now. Shodara maha siki bo shodara. Thank you, Jesus. Let's very quietly sing that song. Oh, let the Son of God enfold us with His Spirit and with His love. Let it have the things that hold us, and the Spirit like a dove will descend upon us and make us whole. Oh, let the Son of God descend upon our lives. God and for